الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى السلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم. وقال في آية: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام، beloved brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and endowed upon us great ni'mats and bounties and has given us great opportunities. One of the greatest bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us is this ni'mat of dua. Every person, our Shaykh rahmatullah used to mention that each one of us has our begging bowl, and this is the begging bowl. He says, as I used to mention, if ek aadmi chori karta hai, to iska haath kata jata hai. And a person steals, then his hand is cut off. Why? Because he has abused this bowl. He's supposed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this bowl. He went and took from somebody. So ye, it's like hai ki uske paas haath na rahe, kata uska haath ko. This we won't find any kitab. That means the kitab mein nahi milega. Like if you go to sea, it makes a lot of sense. Allah Ta'ala has given us this bowl. Wherever we are, whatever we want, whatever time we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing stopping us. There's no zawal time. There's no time that you can't do and lift up your hands and ask. And this is the masnoon tariqah. It's not the only tariqah. You get the muraqabah, qalbiyah, du'iyah. Where you're sitting and just making dua from your heart. Also a great amal. Many people don't know it or don't do it. So this is a great, very, very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the power of dua. Or, like it comes in the hadith, that dua silahul mu'min. It is a weapon of a mu'min. Dua is a weapon of a mu'min. He can use it against his enemies. He can use it for his protection. He can use it to fulfill his needs. And dua in itself is a great ibadat. Dua has many dimensions, many aspects. Dua is an ibadat. Person is asking, Ya Allah, give me a nice car, give me a nice job, etc. He's asking for his dunya, but he's getting sawab, because he's in ibadat. And he's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you ask Allah, the more Allah loves it. The more Allah loves that the banda should ask from him. Because he is only worthy of asking. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Other people you can ask once, twice, three, four times, and then مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ comes in the hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْدَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Person that doesn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala becomes displeased with him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasure, Allah ta'ala has a treasure of everything like we know. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْنْ إِنَّا إِنَّنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. And the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not for Allah, are for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should ask and beg from Allah and beseech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single need. Strap of your this thing breaks, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want some salt, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single need should be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some mashayikh mentioned it very easily to understand. He says, just like bacha hota hai. Bacha hota hai, like you find a small child. Everything either he says ummi or abi, for everything. Somebody is threatening him, he shouts abi or ummi. He wants something, he shouts abi or ummi. For every single thing he shouts towards his mother. He says, bachche se seekho how to ask from Allah. Every single thing, ask from Rabbi or Rabba. Like our Shaykh will say, ye Abba kehta hai, tum Rabba kaho. Ye Rabba, hame ye ata farma, ye ata farma, ye ata farma, ye. Every single need that you have, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, this is not the only way. Mastoon tariqah, as you said, when Abdul Al-Haq used to explain that your hand should be parallel to your chest, should be a small gap in between, not completely like this and not like this also, small gap in between. And after you finish, barkat ki taur par, rub it over your face. Have a good distinct that the barkat that has come down from Allah Pak, rubbing it on my face. Now all of us are needy of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن ni'matin فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَخْرَجَكُم مِّن بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. If you had come out from the wombs of your mothers, you did not know anything. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. All these faculties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you, granted you. So we had come empty-handed here, we'll go empty-handed. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. blessed us with many things. And one great ni'mat is dua. Great ni'mat is dua. Some people, they make the akhirat. It's mentioned by Abdul Wahhab. It's mentioned, Allah say manwalo. Allah say manwalo. In other words, make so much dua that Allah Ta'ala accepts. Manwalo. Like how you go to your father and you want something, or your mother and you want something, and you insist and you persist and you carry on and on till they say, I better take it. A small child comes, he wants a BMW, BMX, he wants a. He said, no, why, I can't afford it. Come again and again and again. By Daisy, take it. Manwalia. Bachchane, manwalia. Allah say manwalo. And these great people used to do that. Should make dua, and make dua, and make dua, and make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to accept the dua. Talking about great people, there's so many incidents here. One person, I think, in Hawick, say, whole Ramzan, I made dua. Ya Allah, take me away, Makkah, Madina, Munawwara. Ya Allah, take me away, Madina, Munawwara. Just went to Madina, Munawwara, I think a few days he passed away. Whole Ramzan, I was making dua. Some Hafiz sahab. When he was Patel sahab, used to make dua. Ya Allah, Haramain mein, Achya Amal mein. Way passed away. So the thing is, we all have the potential to take from the treasures of Allah. And it's not restricted to it. Sometimes you tell a person, bhai, mujhe dua mein yaad rakhna. Meri dua kya hai? What is my dua? I'm a gunegar person. Your Allah and my Allah is one. He's a fulfiller of all our needs. Whether you're gunegar, whether you're a good person, a bad person, you ask him sincerely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you. We had one person, Marina Munawwara. He passed away, Reina Munawwara, also the Khadim of Muhammad bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. So, at one occasion, when he met him and said, he said, bhai, tum bhi muhtaj ho, main bhi muhtaj ho. Main bhi dua karunga, tum bhi dua karo. Don't feel only this person can make dua, he's a pious person, I can't make dua. You muhtaj, I'm muhtaj, we all. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ilallah. O mankind, you are needy and dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of you. And all of us are needy and dependent. Some of them take great advantage of dua. And they ask for every single thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of them, like myself, we don't make long du'as, you know. Don't plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't mention your helplessness and your uselessness before Allah. And if you look in the Quran, great Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, 17th para Allah ta'ala mentions, so many Anbiya alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, all of them making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every need. Why? Like the Anbiya muhtaj for Allah ta'ala, we are muhtaj and everybody is muhtaj. He is Qadi al-Hajat for everyone. He is the one that fulfills the needs of every single person, no matter what need it is. So all of them that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam in his sickness, Zakariya alayhi salam when he didn't get children, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them all. And how did they ask Zakariya alayhi salam? Oh Allah, I am gone old now, my hair is gone white now, my bones are gone weak now, my wife cannot bear a child now, she's gone barren now. You grant me a child. To show to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat is not subject to the means that are around us. You tell a person, bhai, you're going for hajj, bhai? No, man, why? I don't got the money. Your yaqeen is so much on the asbab that you forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send you for hajj without money. Can send you for hajj without money. And you can come back with money also, without money. One person, my friend was telling me, he went for hajj, it cost him 11 riyals. The whole hajj cost him 11 riyals. He was in South Africa, he gave his name, somebody from there who was sponsored him. And when he went for hajj, his champal broke. So he had to buy one champal, it cost him 11 riyals. So the entire hajj cost him 11 riyals. One person said, that is too much. One person from Chatsworth or Phoenix or somewhere, his name came up. King or somebody called him that side, he went there and he came back with money and presents and all that from there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat is not subject to the means around us. We get so overwhelmed with the means. For example, the doctor says she's on the machine. What machine you call it? The heart support machine. So what do we say? Khalas, it's finished. We met one person not very long ago in St. Augustine's from Maputo. Met him, greeted him, how are you, by? Said, no, my sister is not well, man. She's on the life support, yeah, the life support machine. So he said, Allah Pak, give a shifa, and he carried on walking. He followed us. He said, what is a masla? What masla? So in the life support, the masla is he was making dua. After 2 or 3 weeks, he phoned, he said, mashallah, my wife, my sister is well, she's gone back to Maputo. So we look at the means around us and we get overwhelmed. And there's no hope now, nothing can happen. Our duas also become weak. Do not ask for dua, for hajj, why? Haven't got the money. Boss won't give you leave. You won't make it. One of my friends told me there was one person in Ramadandri Khan Jata, the country is ostracized by next to Saudi, not far from Saudi, Qatar. Qatar. There was one person from Qatar who wanted to go out in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was a big army officer, military officer, it was a time of war, etc. So he went, when application, they said, no, sorry, we can't allow you. He took Allah's name, bold, desperate, went away. And he came back, held a tribunal. How did he go away? Such a big man in the army, how did he go away? No permission, he just went to the tribunal, people sat down. When they brought the application form before them, they saw that it was ticked in the wrong place. Yes and no. Instead of the no, it was ticked in yes. In the yes thing, it was ticked. He looked in, they said, there's no case here. Because here, according to this, it's been granted permission. This friend of mine says, I was in Marina Manuvara, and I saw one person from the army. So I asked him about this. He said, I was part of the tribunal. So when Allah wishes for something, even if people say you no, it come out yes, and you have no. So whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes, maybe against means, with means, and we see this in the life, time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, in the life of the companions, right up to this day, you will find people that make dua and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepts. As far as the acceptance of dua is concerned, there's a few rules. Sometimes it's accepted immediately. Whatever you ask for, Allah Ta'ala gave it to you. Sometime what you ask for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked your asking so much, didn't give it to you same time. He wants you to ask and ask and ask and ask. Comes in the hadith, the dua is accepted, ma lam yasta'jil. What does it mean, ma lam yasta'jil? Long as the person is not hastening, his duas are accepted. Otherwise, he doesn't say, I ask Allah Pak and I ask Allah Pak and I ask why nothing happened. No, he carries on doing. Our job is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. Sometime immediately you get it. Ask for something, Before you can wink an eyelid, you know, it's there. Sometime Allah Ta'ala gives you after a short while, after a short time, looking at your benefit, what is good for you. Sometimes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala takes away some calamity from you. Doesn't give you that particular thing, but in lieu of the dua, it takes away some musibat, after that is coming towards you, barakat of the dua is, it goes away. Comes in the riwayat. The calamity is coming, and the duas go up, and they meet. In the skies they meet, and then there's a tug of war between them two, or you can say there's a bout between them two, and the dua overpowers the calamity, and the calamity goes away. Sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something better in this dunya. If you ask for something, Allah didn't give you that, give you something better. Then you realize, I kept on asking for this, but this was much better for me. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, we do not know. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give you anything in the dunya. He gives it to you in the akhirat. That you ask for a certain dua, it comes in some riwayat, you understand. Every single dua the person makes, we told to him, you made a dua on a certain day, certain place, certain dua, this is how it was accepted. I give you this, I give you this, I give you this. This particular dua, I give you nothing, I give you the reward here. It's mentioned when people will see, when we see the reward in the akhirat, we'll say, Ya Allah, how nice if all our duas were not accepted in the dunya, and you are given the reward here in the akhirat for our duas. So, dua is it's a weapon of a mu'min, something that we can do at all times. There are a few conditions, obviously you must eat halal food, you must stay away from haram for the acceptance of your duas. Then there is sub times, preferred times for duas. For example, between azan and iqamat, all of us get this, most of the time get this engaged in dua, is accepted between azan and iqamat. After namaz, dua is accepted. At the time of rain, dua is accepted. At the time of azan, between the waqfas of azan, dua is accepted. Haji Farooq Rahmatullah mentioned that one place, one person carried it out and came to know of it, immediately he saw the acceptance of his duas. So, duas of a sick person are accepted, duas of a musafir is accepted, dua of a fasting person is accepted, dua of a mazloom is accepted. This is something many of us don't realize. The dua of the oppressed is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlights this, اتقي دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينه وبين الله حجاب. Save yourself from the dua, bad dua of the person that's oppressed. There is no veil between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua he makes is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bad dua that he makes. Now many of us don't realize this. That's why they say, don't try and hurt the feelings of anyone. Hurt the feelings of anyone? Every language has its own words. Our language also got one word. mustn't take the nisasa. Nisasa means the bad feelings from any person. Don't cause injury, harm, nuksan to any person. Why? Because you're just hurting his heart is a baddua against you. And then you want to know what's happening. For example, I'll give you one example. We find many merchants, we're talking this afternoon, person is telling him, Mauna, that person, not running down any musalli, obviously, every person is musalli, we respect everyone. Mauna, 5-10 musalli, man. Came to this matter here, a different person. You won't say this man got deen inside him. The way he deals, you know. So dealings is something else, you know, salat is something else. Supposed to be tying up, we're supposed to be holistically in the deen of Allah. Our deals, our akhlaq, our buying and selling should be all tying up with the order of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When it comes to buying and selling also, then we must get the dua of Rasulullah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, may Allah have mercy on that person who is lenient when he buys, when he sells, and when he demands. Who is making dua? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah have mercy on that person. Samhan is a stara, wa idha ba'a, wa idha idda'a. Person that's lenient and soft and considerate when he is buying. He's buying something, he's considerate for the person who's selling it. He pays him the price, he doesn't squeeze him. And he's considerate when he's selling also. Some poor person comes to him and he's selling something, he's considerate. Samhan, no problem. 10 rand, you take it for 5 rand. Carry on. See that person, poor person. And when he's claiming also, it's a debt. Somebody owes him something and he comes to claim, it's not hard and firm. Rasulullah says, may Allah have mercy on that person. May Allah have mercy on that person. What happens here when a person has, I'm just giving a hypothetical example, not referring to any particular person, has a nice, flourishing, thriving business and somebody comes there to sell some item. Poor person. And you can make out the poor person from his style, from his way, from his behavior, you know, especially when he comes in front of the big boss, manager, the CEO, etc. Tell him, I'm selling this item for so and so, certain price. Say for example, 10 rand each, I'm selling these items. Firstly, this man will squeeze him. Oh, 10 rand, I can get this for 5 rand, man. A lie. Can't get it for 5 rand. But he wants to bring the price down. Can get it for 5 rand. Oh, but you know, I'm just making ends meet, and you know, it cost me 6.50, and you know, I'm just making 2 rand on it. And, all right, I'll give it to you. He squeezes the man, buys the item, and he tells him, all right, 30 days. Can't pay you cash. 30 days I pay you. Man goes, comes back after 30 days. No, sorry. Your items are still here on the shelf. That wasn't the condition, whether in the shelf, or whether in the house, or whether you gave it to somebody or you threw it in the lake. You bought it from X, you're going to give it his money after 30 days. Now he is anticipating that payment and he is making ends meet. He comes. You want, you can take your stuff away, but it didn't sell, you know. Man can't take his stuff away. Come next month, another 30 days. Hey man, he's making dua, he's waiting, he comes after 30 days, still doesn't get it. Now that person comes in the hadith, matlul ghani zulmun. The procrastination of a wealthy person is zulm, is oppression. One side, that man is going for umrah, driving a new Mercedes, driving a new car, going for holidays, etc. His children spending money is more, weekend spending money is more than this man's monthly wages. That's carrying on. But comes to paying this man, procrastinates, man. Man can do nothing. Just that ah that comes out of his heart, that's the baddua for you. That is the dua of a mazloom. He's mazloom, he's oppressed. He can't turn anywhere. He's mazloom. Why? Because he can't go to anyone. This is a big boss of the company. Nobody wants to speak to him too. Goes to the Imam Sahib also. Imam says, well, I make dua for you, but this man, I can't talk to this man. You know, he's too high up there. He's oppressed. And Allah Ta'ala knows he's oppressed. So when that ah comes out of his heart, then you say, why? I'm reading my namaz, I'm giving charity, I'm giving sadqa. Why are these problems in my life? You didn't save yourself from the baddua of the oppressed. That person is oppressed. His ah came out. And that is causing you these problems in your life. Children are giving you problems. There's a break in your house. There was somebody held you up here. This thing happened to you. That happened because you're taking the baddua from Muslim. Anyway, so duas, Allah Ta'ala accept sometimes immediately, sometimes after a while, sometimes give you something in lieu of that, sometimes in the akhirat. And as I mentioned, in the akhirat, when you see the sawab, you say, Ya Allah, I wish no dua of mine was accepted in dunya. You should have given me everything here. When you see the value of the sawab. The value of the sawab will only realize in the akhirat. From the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, engaged in excessive dua. Time of Badr, etc. Engaged himself in dua. So many occasions, the kitabs are filled up with the du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very, very comprehensive. And the best du'as to make are the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? You will come to know the marifat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you look at the words of du'a. What he asked for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else can ask like a Nabi, like Hudud sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hudud sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspired to make this du'a. That's why you find this munajat maqbool, hisbi azam, etc. These are all du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, du'as from the Quran and Hadith that are compiled, and we should read this du'as. Very, very comprehensive du'as for our deen, for our dunya, for our akhirat. Du'as that we cannot even think about are there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made excessive du'a. In the time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin also we find a lot of du'a. The tabi'in time, right up to this day, people engage in du'as. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their du'as. And as I mentioned, when they used to make du'a, they have before them the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The unlimited qudrat of Allah, unlimited power of Allah, unlimited bounty of Allah, unlimited mercy of Allah. And they used to ask. They should not subject their du'as to the conditions and surroundings that they are in. I'm not earning enough, I can't do this, I won't be able to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do everything. Everything is in His power. And nothing is beyond the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala showed it to them. Up to this day you find Allah ta'ala showed it to people. Reminds me of that person whose donkey had died while he was on journey. And he sat and made dua to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala revived the life of the donkey, brought back to life. That lady that had accepted Islam, and she was a revert, she came to Medina Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and her child passed away. She said, Ya Allah, my nation will taunt me that you went and accepted this religion, otherwise your child is gone now. She started making dua to Allah ta'ala. They say that person says, he saw the legs of the child moving, and he lived there. I don't remember for how many years thereafter he lived. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived the child that was gone with the dua of the mother. It was the dua. So we have that tool with us. We have it with us wherever we go. But how much do we use it? Or to what extent do we go to use this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? So many incidents. So many, many incidents. Current people also. One person, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, mentioned about him that he had gone to one place. It was nightfall, so he went to a masjid to spend the night there. So like the caretaker of the masjid, come and see, bhai, yahan masjid mein rehne ka adar nahi hai, bhai, niklo yahan se. He didn't say, I'm Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, I'm a great imam, etc. He went out, put him outside, said, no, yahan bhi nahi hai. Imagine about the haram. You know? Man tells you, you can't take this in the haram shirik. Take it outside, he said, no, you can't leave it here also. That's not the haram shirik, you're leaving it outside. No, yahan bhi nahi rakh sakte. Can't even sit outside the masjid. So when opposite there was a person who had a bakery. And he saw this person in the musafir, you know, he told him, bhai, come. I'm here whole night, you can some park in one corner and spend the night here. So Imam Sahib went and he spent the night. He didn't tell him who he is. And he saw this person in a different version. Some say he was reading the third kalima. Some say he was making istighfar throughout the night while kneading his dough and everything. So he asked him in the morning, Jazakallah for allowing me to spend the night here. But I just want to know something. He says, what? He says, you're making the zikr all the time. What you actually achieve? What you get? He says, no, the barakat of this, all my du'as are accepted by Allah. All my du'as. Only one du'a, man. One du'a I'm still yearning for. He said, what is that du'a? He said, I want to meet Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Just that one du'a. He says, yes, I'm Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. The power of your du'a brought me from where I came, chucked me out of the masjid, chucked me out from outside the masjid and brought me to your door so that I can meet you. The du'a pulled me from there and brought me here. So this du'a of yours also is completed. The incident about a lady, she was in the wilderness somewhere. She had some grandchild whose parents had died. And he had a very strange sickness and disease. On one side, you see, the Nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't falter. Allah ta'ala doesn't forget and doesn't falter, and Allah ta'ala fulfills. How? Only Allah ta'ala knows. That's why I tell some of my friends, we make dua, don't think how it's going to happen. That's not our work. Our work is to ask Allah ta'ala. How it's going to happen, Allah ta'ala will show you. And show you in such remarkable ways that you can't even fathom. So this person was going to a big conference and he was flying down. Let's assume it was from Johannesburg to Durban, just to contextualize it so you understand. And on the way there was a breakdown, there was a big storm, something like one came today or even worse. The flight could not move, they landed somewhere. So he went up to the counter and told him, listen, how can I get to Durban? Because I have to be there by a certain time. I have to be there tomorrow certain time. So there's no way you can get there. There's no flights. The only way you can get there is take a car, drive down. He said, no, I have to be there for this conference. So he started driving. When he started driving, he got lost on the way. And you have this, what we have, GFR, what you have? EPS. EPS also takes you the wrong route sometimes, you know. Once you went overseas, two boat cars left from one destination. We reached 1.5 hours later than the other. So they couldn't explain it. So I said, it's very easy. You can hold your nose like this and you can hold it like this also, you see. So the GPR sometimes goes around and takes you there, you see. 1.5 hours later. Modern zamana, you see. Anyway, say mustn't listen too much to a woman, but GPR, all of them are full of women. Nobody says they are sexist when they are announcing all the time, no men. Anyway, this was by the way. So this person lost his way. Lost his way, was somewhere in the wilderness. Thought to himself, now, I don't know where I am, I lost my way. Sometimes the GPR takes you such routes, you come, gravel route, where is this? One left, go straight, turn right, and come right to somewhere in the bundus. So the man said, at least, you know, it's so cold here, it's so unlight. He said, at least I can make a phone call to those people in the conference nearby. I couldn't make it. So when they tapped the door, the old lady came out. She asked him, "By what can I do for you? Can I use your telephone?" "You know, we got no telephone, no electricity here. Come inside and have a cup of tea with me, you know." Old ladies, friendly. So he went inside the house and saw this lady sitting there, and there was a small child, you know. She made the tea, she served the tea to him, and this is listening the child there in the, what do you call it, the pot or whatever, reading namaz, making dua again, standing to the child. She became a bit curious, so she asked her, she said, "What's happening?" She said, "No, this is my grandson. His parents have passed away. And he suffers from a very rare disease, cancer disease, and there's only one doctor that can cure him, and he's too far away. He's too far away." So I'm carrying on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Yes, I'm the doctor. I had to take a flight. The flight was grounded. Then I had to take a car. Then I lost my way. The power of your dua pulled me here right up to you. I am the doctor." He started crying. "This is the power of your dua. Allah ta'ala brought me brought me here to cure this child." So the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. How it's going to happen, we don't know. We don't know how it's going to happen. And we talk about those times. Let's come now, this times. Sayyid Fakhruddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. One doctor is telling me about Sayyid Fakhruddin. He was known for his duas, Sayyid Sahib, if you knew him. It comes in the hadith that you must make dua wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Make dua in such a state that you have the conviction of acceptance. You have the conviction of accepting. Whether you get that item, you get something else. Told me we were in Johannesburg. We were in Johannesburg and we were traveling on the highway. It was a Saturday afternoon in the days when the agents used to close their agencies at 1 o'clock. Saleh's agency and all those agencies. And we had to go in Jamaat somewhere. So he said, Sayyid Sahib told us, "Stop here. Stop the car on the highway." Got off of the highway. I think he read his 2 rakas namaz. Sitting there making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the highway. On the highway means on the side of the highway. While he's engaged in dua, somebody that sees us in the opposite end stops the car there, crosses and comes to us and tells us, "What is the problem?" He says, "No, we're supposed to take a flight, etc. All the offices are closed, etc. So we can't go." So he's making dua. He says, "I'm a travel agent, follow me. I'm a travel agent, follow me." And he took them to the travel agency and issued the tickets and gave it to them. Another incident he mentioned about Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says they were in Jeddah and the Jamaat was going to India. So they came to the airport, and when we went to check in the airport, people asked them, "Where are you from?" South Africa. "Where are your visas?" He said, "No, we don't require visas, you know. According to our rules and regulations from South Africa, you must have your visa if you want to go to India." Now anybody sitting here, what will me or you do when they tell us that? We'll go to the Indian embassy and get our visas. That's what we'll do, because it's the most logical thing to do. One is the logic, you see, one is the qudr of Allah Pak. Sayyid Sahib told the people, "Sit down, let's sit down here and make dua." Now that Indian embassy chap is not going to come to the airport. Is he going to come to the airport and give you visas? That only Allah knows how. But let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah. "Ya Allah, you help us. We're in this predicament." Logical thing to do was to go to the embassy. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudr works beyond our logic, beyond our understanding, sitting and making dua there. Now all of you that travel, you know, nobody likes that the flight must be delayed. It can be whatever flight. In the end, after everybody checks in, somebody will come around and say, Bombay, 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 to see that he's not delaying the flight. And if you're saying, yes, Bombay, and he's still sitting here, he's 20 minutes left for the flight, what will he do? All of you are experienced. He'll take you to the nearest counter, take your baggage, you won't even weigh anything, put anything inside, get your boarding pass, get you going. That's exactly what happened to them. Bombay, he said, yes. Come, you're still sitting here. Time for the flight to go. They came, they put them, took them to the nearing boarding gate, they put all the stuff in, they issued the boarding passes and tell them to go. No visa, no nothing. Gone. There's the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you ask Allah ta'ala, Sheikh Yunus had come here from Tunis, he told a similar story. He says, one lady, Rivat lady, she wanted to go for Hajj. So when they found out from the Saudi embassy, they said, no, everything is closed now. Closed, the dates are closed. Nobody can go for Hajj now. She kept on making dua. From the king's side, I think, there, an order came that so many Rivat couples must come for Hajj. They came out looking for them. Looked for this lady, took her for a 5-star Hajj. Why? Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah willing, it happens. Allah doesn't will, it doesn't happen. Another story told us from France when a Jamaat went to England, to the border. Some of them had no visas. So, when I asked them for the visas, they said, no visas. Okay. They started making the dua and amal and all that. Said, before they finish the amal, they called them. Come, you can go. Some of them had no passport. I think one or two people had no passports. And they carried on making dua. Said the person staring at the officer, he says, when you're making dua, you're staring at them, in other words, not without your passport, you won't make it. In other words, don't come and request me. So now, I just want to say one thing. You know? Came and spoke to them and told them, simple thing he told them. You know why we come to your country? Because we love you people, man. Friends, people, we love them. Give them a temporary permit, go, get inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing, and you have the determination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show it to us. But our determination is not there. That will it happen, can it happen, can't happen, how it will happen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. One person we met overseas in America, we used to see him cleaning the masjids. Intentions also play a very great in our sicknesses, our needs. When we have a good intention, that also has an effect. So we saw him cleaning the masjids, like you find somebody who is working in the masjid. But there were two masjids, two or three masjids in the town. Every week, certain day, he'll go here, he'll go there, he'll go there. So we asked him, are you employed? He said, no, I'm not employed. I made a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was very sick. And a time came, and they said, you know, switch off the machines, and that will be the end of me. So I said, ya Allah, spare me. Spare me, give me life, I will serve the masjids. And he says, at that point, before they switched off the machines, one person came, and he asked, and he told the other doctor, you know, we have another way, you can maybe try it, you know, it may work. They tried it and it worked, and I survived. So I'm sticking to my side of the deal, and I go every certain day to every masjid, and I clean the masjid. Here, there was one person whose child was on the dialysis, he was nearly gone, doctors wrote him off, told him, look, no chance of survival. You know what he did? He did what all of us can do. You know, we must learn from people's experiences. You don't have to learn only from an alim. From people's daily experience, we must also learn. He says, I told myself, ya Allah, for you, you can make the impossible possible. Doctor said his kidneys are gone, this is gone, that is gone, all systems down. So he said, I just kept telling Allah, ya Allah, you can make the impossible possible. And the child is surviving. The day we went to go and see the child, he was in the hospital day, ordered some pizzas, etc. I said to myself, mashallah, this man is in a better position than us. Enjoying himself, Allah Ta'ala brought him to the position. That was the yakin of his parents, that you can make the impossible possible. But do we think that way? We get so overwhelmed with the things around us. How will this happen? It won't happen. Allah Ta'ala makes it happen. We went to the hospital many years ago, one of the hospitals here. A friend that took us, he said, Mawlana, I am taking you here only because this person says, no, because I know the family. But the doctors have declared this person brain dead. He's brain dead. When a person says brain dead, what happens? All systems down, can never survive. That boy is still living. Met his uncle after 1 year in the flight one day. Told him, no, bhai, you seem to be related. He said, yeah. Where is your nephew? He said, no, he stays in a certain place. So I'd like to see him. I went away and see him, living. And doctors declared him brain dead. Doctors declared him brain dead. I had a friend in Stanger. The doctors declared him dead. The doctors declared him dead. And not an ordinary doctor, heart specialist. He was there, he came out, they told his wife, we lost him. Something happened. Allah Ta'ala made him survive, and he lived so many years. He passed away now. He lived so many years thereafter. So even doctors declare people dead. Allah wishes them to be living, they will still live. Doctors know a little more than us, due respect to them, but it's not in the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. We had one musalli in Spingo. He said, a doctor told me, if you don't go for a heart operation, you are gone. He says, 20 years now I am surviving, the doctor is gone. 20 years I am surviving. So it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must ask, looking at the qudrat of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala uses means, people, things sometimes. A famous incident of a person is going to see his mother seriously in the hospital, and he stops to fill up some petrol, and he sees some kittens there and all that. Goes to the shop and he buys some fish or tuna or something, and he gives it to them. You know? When he reaches the hospital to see his mother, he sees the bed is empty, and somebody is seriously sick and the bed is empty. What does it mean? It's gone to the mortuary or somewhere. So he asks, what happened? He says, no, your mother is fine. She's in a certain place. Mother says, I saw in my dream some cats and kittens making dua for me. Cat and kitten making dua for me. We made sadqa, we made ihsan on them. Badla Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived this person. So many incidents where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the person's asking, you know, had make it happen. Duas of the mother, duas of the parents, duas of somebody who assisted, he made dua for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you, assisted you. Your duas. And persistently making duas. There was one person, this morning I smashed the word, there was one person in Upper Pakistan somewhere, and he should be always in the masjid. He wanted to go out in Allah's path. So it is mentioned through reliable sources that Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one person inspired by Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go and assist a certain person in a certain place. So he neglected it. Those days, Fridays was a public holiday. He didn't fulfill it. Then another person saw it. So he went to that town. And let's assume in Escort, for example. A certain person in Escort go and assist him. So when they got to Escort, they asked him, for example, his name was Farooq Bhai. Where's Farooq Bhai? Farooq Bhai must be in the masjid. Farooq Bhai day and night in the masjid. They went to the masjid. Farooq Bhai is still in his duas. Still making duas. This person came and assisted him. So how it will happen, how Allah Ta'ala will assist me and you, how Allah Ta'ala will get our needs fulfilled, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But our job is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala persistently. And ask him in a manner that, Ya Allah, you can do everything. You are Qadir-e-Mutlaq. Qadir-e-Mutlaq means you are not suspended and bound by means. An ant is walking here. Can we hear the sound of an ant walking here? But yes, Allah Ta'ala made us here. The ant, it came in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. What that ant had said, Allah recorded it in the Quran. We read it and we hear it. Every time we come across that part of the Quran. So this is the qudrat of Allah. Can make that ant's voice and message to his fellow ants be sounded to the people that will come after so many centuries after Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala is not in need of means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of means. He can do with means, without means, against means. It is our how we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I say, the more determination we have in our du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show it to us sometime, and sometime immediately. It reminds me of a thing that's more like a joke. One of my friends, said Alim also, says, I was in Maidan Arafat, you know. After making ibadat in Arafat, after a while, all folks will bring for us, feel like having something to eat, you know. And he was a Simba chips lover. So he said, I came out and I taught him, I said, Ya Allah, get a Simba chips there. He said, Mawla, you won't believe it. There was one person there, he opened his bag, he took out the Simba chips and gave me. So I took him by in the Maidan Arafat, they only thought of Simba chips. He never asked of anything there, you know. So whatever you ask for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. You want Simba chips in Maidan Arafat, there's no Simba company. This guy opens this, he said, there's it. Want Simba chips, there's it. So we mustn't look at the means, what we got, what we haven't got, you know. Allah Ta'ala does. In the Jamaat, who were once in Malawi, got a friend in America, he's known as Muhammad Hazrat. Surname is Hazrat. And his brother is in Peshawar, it's also Hazrat. So I never met him, but sometimes you can make out. You see Mr. Akku and you see somebody looks like him, and you say, no, this is his brother, or this is his nephew. You know, you can see by the dials. So we were in Malawi when the Jamaat came there from Pakistan, and then sat down in the Jamaat there listening. I thought to myself, this is that Muhammad Hazrat's brother, man. The Peshawar, it was a Pakistan Jamaat. Say, it looks like him. Now he's explaining. Says there was one person, he used to sell water. Sell water, not like the water bottles in the mushkizat, like you find in those days. Mushkizat was a leather container. He used to go around, fill that water and go. Farooq Bhai wants some water, he come and sell it to him. Sell him water. But that's a very mean job. You hardly earn anything. Whenever the tashkil used to be made for overseas, he used to stand up. He should give his name. Let's assume his name was Farooq. So he says the people around him, this person actually took his chadar, put it here. People around him used to withhold their laughter. This guy here is going to go to France. This chap here was sharing water. That must be his dua to go. And he gives his name. Allah Ta'ala only takes. When his jamaat went to France and he came back, the people in the next jamaat went, they all asked him, who was this Farooq Bhai? He said, why? Wherever he used to go and make tashkil, people used to give his name Nakhat. Because of the qurbani that he gave before that. Because of the duas that he had put in before that. Allah Ta'ala took him and took out work from him. So don't look at the means, don't look at the asbab, don't get worried, I won't make tashkil, more spell the tashkil afterwards. There, don't look at the asbab, I can't go, I can't go. One person loses his phone, I'll just get you day to day instance. One person loses his phone in Marina Munawwara. At the airport, he lost his phone. You know, when you're alone and you got your boarding pass in one hand and your wallet in the other hand and you know, your phone in the other hand, something happens and your wife is with you, she's carrying all that burden, you see. So the man finished there and he said, my phone, man. Phone is gone. Now everybody loses phone every day and every other day you lose a phone. What's so unique about it? But the main thing is the numbers. Today I may ask somebody's number, he said, I don't know my own son's number. Because we're so dependent on the phone now. You say, what's the number? I don't know, it's on the phone. Anyway, this man went to the security counter there, you know. But he's thinking to himself, my lousy phone, this chap here won't steal it, man. This chap in the security company, he gets so many phones going past his hands. If he'll choose a phone, he'll choose a good phone, not my phone. But anyway, as a matter of precaution, man, they say, no, I didn't see the phone. Came to Makkah Mukarramah, somehow he phoned South Africa, got the phone number of the person, came to South Africa. But he's still worried about his phone. He can't forget his phone. He's asking the person sitting next to him, there, an Arab brother. Now, actually not the phone, it's the numbers. The numbers, he had about 1,000 numbers on his phone. He says, bhai, if you lose your phone, what do you do? The child can tell you also, you buy another phone. He says, you buy another phone. He says, what about the numbers? Numbers are gone. Like sitting with the Kaabatullah, listen carefully. Sitting with the Kaabatullah, ya Allah, my phone. His phone he lost where? Marina Sharif. Sitting, ya Allah, my phone, ya Allah. Not beyond your kudrat, ya Allah. You can do it, you know, ya Allah. Goes to his room. The other two companions of his, one of his says, you want your phone? Takes it out of his pocket and gives it to him. Loses in Medina, makes dua for his Makkah Sharif, his companion gives him. How did it happen? So simple for Allah Pak. His friend of his that was supposed to welcome him here, dialed his number. So it rang at the check-in counter in Medina Munawwara. This person said, bye, this person is not here, but I have his phone. So do me a favor, whoever is coming to Makkah Sharif from there, just give him the phone. Tell him to dial me when he comes to Makkah Sharif and I'll go pick up the phone. That person carried the phone to Makkah Sharif. He dialed this person dialed him when they collected the phone and gave it to this person's companion and told him, we'll give your friend his phone, there's it. Lost it in Makkah Sharif, found it where? Lost it in Marina Sharif, found it where? In Makkah Sharif. The system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala work is dua that accepted. Somebody should turn him by. We can dua for a phone here. So many 100 kilometers away, your phone was lost. One person loses his sandals in one other masjid, finds it in your masjid. How it comes, only Allah Ta'ala knows. So our du'as must be such that we should not curtail our du'as according to the circumstances we are in, according to the conditions that we are in. We should keep asking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala likes to ask it. And there's so many incidents. One person from Stanger, seriously sick. Person tells me, you know what, Moana, my father every day, he was sick. I don't know he had cancer or what sickness. Every day he used to read the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam. Rabbi anni masani adurru wa anta arhamur rahimeen 100 times. Every day. He was cured of his sickness. Sometimes that yaqeen you have, fervor you have upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala shows it to you. Sometimes Allah ta'ala likes you asking, carry on asking. Your sickness will continue, your problem will continue, carry on asking. Sometimes you'll get it in the akhirat. When you get it in the akhirat, you'll say, hi, I wish none of my du'as were accepted in the dunya. Du'as of even the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned about Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi alayh. He reached this great status because he had made ihsan on a kitten. Small kitten, he had made ihsan. And the kitten had made du'a for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that high stages. One incident, to the Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullahi writes in Fadhail al-Sadqat, of a king, very cruel king, oppressive king. He was going, his entourage, and he saw a dog. He told his people to take the dog and look after the dog. When he came back, he looked after the dog himself, till the dog died. Somebody saw him in a dream, Allah Ta'ala forgive me. You had mercy on the dog, we had mercy on you. Forgive him, you were vicious, you were oppressive, we forgive. We forgive you and we forgive all those people we made oppression upon, those are also forgiven on your behalf, you are forgiven. So sometimes the act of goodwill brings some good things to you. Abdul Hamid Sahib was telling us about a person who said, you read 100,000 times, Astaghfirullah. Just Astaghfirullah for a certain need. Just Astaghfirullah 100,000 times. So he says that person eventually migrated from here to Madina Munawwara and got residence there and he's staying there, etc. by reading this. Then gone to Cape Town and speaking to one brother. He says, ek Pakistani bhai yahan tha, iska kagazat ka kaam banta hi nahi tha. You know, all this paperwork was not getting done. He started reading 100,000 times. He finished 100,000 times, Astaghfirullah, kaam ban gaya uska. We were in Nairobi airport once. There's a very famous worker there. I forget his name. His brother is in the UK. He was in the UK also. Anyway, we went for the flight and couldn't get a booking. He said, read Yasin Sharif. Now, Yasin Sharif also is mentioned for your needs. Read Yasin Sharif, Allah Ta'ala fulfills your needs. Read Yasin Sharif, your need was fulfilled. So there's many ways. And as I said, dua is only to see. We stick dua, for example, to the masjid. Come and make dua, mashallah, you're in a nice, nurani environment, etc. But dua is not restricted to the masjid. Wherever you are, ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You don't have to even lift your hands. You can make dua in your namazes. We make dua, إِنَّ أَقْرَبَ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ وَهُوَ سَاجِرٌ فَأَكْثِرُوا فِي الدُّعَى جَدِيرٌ أَيْ يُقْبَلْ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that the most, you are most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are in sajda. So make dua, and make a lot of dua. أَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى Make dua when you are in sajda. All of my mentioned nafil namaz, even in the sunnat namazes, you can make dua in sajda. You are most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would your dua not be accepted by Allah ta'ala? So we should increase our duas. Make also muraqabah dua'iyya, for example, with the heart you're sitting. You muraqabah about dua, Allah ta'ala fulfill this need, that need. And there's so much need for dua. So much need. I mentioned I had one friend. He used to sit that time, there was no masjid here. There was a Marinson Road masjid. He used to sit sometime from Asr right up to Maghrib. He should make dua. From Asr right up to Maghrib is making dua. And when he passed away, his children told us, we took him out, put him on the bed, and took him out, you know, on the veranda. He sat up, read the kalima, then went. So, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. And what we should ask for, that's another chapter. What we should ask for, another chapter. That's where the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam come in. We cannot make comprehensive du'as like what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. But he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we read the Munajati Maqbool, Hizbi Azim, etc. All those du'as are there. And du'a is something that's so beautiful and so simple, especially when, and the thing that is most neglected is du'a. Why? Every sentence you'll hear from a person that is parting, don't forget me in the du'as. How often do you make du'a for him? Every person tells you, don't forget me in my du'a, your du'as. How often do you make du'a for that person? If you just include one sentence, Ya Allah, all those people that requested me for du'as, give them all the good in this dunya and the akhirat, save them from all the evil in this dunya and akhirat. When you go one step ahead, all those that asked me to make dua and all those that did not even ask me, Allah, grant them all the khair in here in this dunya and akhirat, save them from all the evil in that dunya and akhirat. What happens? What happens when you do that? An angel makes dua for you. Angel says, Ameen, walaka bi mislin. Ameen, let it be so and may Allah give you the same. May Allah give you the same. End off in a light note here. Person is making dua for his friend. Why? Because he was not married. See? When he finished his dua, his wife said, no, I know. I know what you have in your mind. You have another wife for yourself. Because the angel will say, Ameen, and you also must get one like that. Understand? Chacha doesn't understand. See? Anyway, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And it comes in the hadith, Asra'u dua ijabatan, dua ghaibin li ghaibin. We don't make dua for the people. Now go on. The dua that's accepted most quickly, Allah Ta'ala, is the dua of a person for somebody that's absent. We make dua for Ibrahim who's in Joburg, for Farooq who's in Karachi, we're making dua for him here. That dua is most readily and quickly accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to use this weapon and to make dua for a person, take his name and make dua. There was one buzurg in Pakistan, I remember, in Kanpur, very great buzurg. When the people used to ask him for dua, if he came out of the masjid, he's going to the car, he would stop in his tracks. I said, dua karna, stop in his tracks and make cash dua there, right there. So he doesn't forget. And you also see, he made dua for you. Tell a person and take his name and make dua for him. How he feels about it. Feels very good, isn't it? If there's a sick person, bye, I'll take your name and make dua for you. Now you don't have to wait till Isha Namaz finishes, and the dua finishes, then you sit down. You might forget. There's so many things that can happen from that time to now. The moment you leave the presence of that person, make dua for him. Ya Allah, Farooq bhai is ill. Ya Allah, give him shifa. You took his name and you made dua for him. An angel will make dua for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to value this great ni'mat that Allah ta'ala has given us. Make maximum use of this. This is dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And express our weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how Zakariya alayhi salam had done that, I'm gone weak, I'm gone old, the bones are weak, but I'm not despondent of your dua. Ya Allah, give me a son. My wife is barren, etc. But give me. Allah ta'ala has given him. So similarly, Ya Allah, we are useless, we are weak. We can't even take one breath, one step. But you are the one that does, Ya Allah. You do this for me, you do this for me, you do this for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. There's so many people, as I mentioned, there's no means they have whatsoever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that their needs were fulfilled. If a person makes dua for the mu'mineen 27 times a day, Allahumma fillala rabbi filli wali walidi wali mu'mina yawma yaqumu hisab, or any other words, we include the mu'mineen, we mentioned he'll become mustajabul da'wat. He will become a person whose du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were so many sahaba also like that, whose du'as were accepted, they were mustajabul da'wat. There are so many people, they are mustajabul da'wat. Whatever du'as they make, we find, du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to value this great ni'mat Allah ta'ala has given us, and so that we can take from the unlimited treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, human being, you're asking once, twice, three, four times, then he will say, bye, you only saw my door, there's so many other people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you ask him, Allah ta'ala gets happy. And if you don't ask him, Allah ta'ala becomes unhappy with you. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْدَبْ عَلِيهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanahu wa ta'ala bihamdihi. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah. La ilaha illallah. Astaghfirullah.